My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Been a fun day of sports talk with you guys, talking about the Giants and what they should do moving forward. Also fun to have Baldy on. You know, I love a BT because it kind of solidifies what we see. He sees it to a different level. Sometimes, obviously, we learn something, see something different. But we're watching the games without breaking down the film. It's just not my thing. I know some fans do that as well. Good for them. But Baldy's breaking down the film of everybody, and he goes over right there. And I do think there was more encouraging things from week one to week two with the Giants. And I do think they're going to win some football games here. Now, how it's going to happen, it seems hard right now. And again, to pick the Giants just blindly saying, well, they're going to beat Cleveland, you know, based on what exactly? Hard to say, although I don't think Cleveland is as good. Their defense, yes. But we're going to have to see the Giants go out there and actually win some of these games here and do what they did last year. Remember, too, they were close last year. Last year could have been an 8-win season, even in a year where they lost their starting quarterback to a point where they had to get down to their third-string quarterback. I just have seen more good with Dable overall than bad. And even this year, week one, unacceptably bad, but week two, significant improvement, unfortunately, ended in a loss.
Yeah, and listen, Baldy's great, and we're going to have him all year. And it's nice to see what, like, the statistic that, yeah, that we referenced earlier, what the Giants are ranked sixth right now.
Yeah.
Pass protection by PFF. Yeah. Yep. All right, so, you know, Baldy's saying he's seeing good things. The numbers support that. I love it. You know, but listen, the only thing about last year, they could have easily won eight games. They also could have probably easily won four.
Yep.
Like, you know,
yep,
we,
that's fair enough.
We just kind of gloss over the games that they narrowly won.
Same thing the year before, too.
You could do that with every team, right, by the way. That's not picking on the Giants, yep, here. That's like, yeah, they could have won the Jet games. In a lot of ways, they should have won the Jets game. But really, if you look at, let's say, well, maybe the Cardinals game, week two, where they were just buried early. And granted, Daniel Jones threw the ball, you know, threw the hell out of it, threw for 320 yards and with a really great second half comeback. But, you know, a misplay here, one less play there, and the Giants, instead of being 1-1 there, they're 0-2. They beat the Commanders in Week 7 by a touchdown. All right, you know, flip a coin. That's pretty close. Could have gone either way. They beat the Patriots 10-7. Pats were awful. They won by 3 points. So they beat Green Bay by 24-22. I'm not saying that they couldn't have found their way to eight games with a break or a little different circumstances, but they also could have had four. Generally, I think that they were what they were a year ago.
The other thing that I took away from Baldy right there was he seemed more encouraged about the Jets' defense than either you or I after week two. I know it got better, but he seemed, right? Didn't he seem?
He did. Listen, I'm not worried about DJ. Yeah, he was more, first of all, as long as they played marginally better, there was going to be a better report because they were so awful. The bar was low. I mean, they got pushed around. They couldn't fire off the ball. They were just soft. They were impotent. That Jets defense was a joke in San Francisco. So I knew that they play better, and Levis made a ton of mistakes. Now, by the way, what's the conversation with Baldy if Levis doesn't, doesn't foolishly flip that ball?
They might lose that game.
It's 14-0. At very least, it's 10-0 Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, Echols did a really nice job filling in for DJ Reed. I'm not worried about DJ's health. I don't know if he's playing this week. We'll find out probably tomorrow. CJ, I don't know, but it's not like a Jermaine Johnson situation. As long as they get the Reddick situation resolved. And I got to tell you this, because I was telling you this morning. Like, this is the window to do it. Like, let's just say during... Not even our show. During Evan and Tiki's breaking news, right? Wow, the Jets signed Hassan Reddick. Okay, he's not playing Thursday no matter what. There's no way he's going to sign a contract today, even if he did, and get ready to put pads on in 2 nights. It's not happening. But if he gets it done, and this is one of the residues, been like negatively, of playing 3 games in 11 days out of the shoot, is that you're going to be tired and traveling and whatever. But once you get past this third game, now you got a little extra window to heal up and also get some contract stuff done. And you got to get it resolved. So I would love to see the Reddick situation taken care of by today, which I'm not expecting. Tomorrow, not necessarily expecting. Maybe after the very soon, within the next 3 or 4 days, because then that sets him up for Denver. He could play against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and at this point, I would say that he's probably not. I mean, we don't know, but it's just looking more and more like...
You're probably right, but a little concession.
That's a losing leverage, though, by the day. They're sibbing leverage.
The Jets, right?
Yeah. Whatever leverage they thought they had, it's gone.
Well, it's not even that they thought they had it. They definitely had it, because he had to play a required amount of weeks to accrue the extra year.
Right.
Otherwise, you just punt. You know this. We talked about it a million times. For those who don't know, very briefly, if he doesn't play this year, forget about getting banged out with these fines and losing basically $21 million. He's already lost 6 in fines. Every game is $800,000 game check that he's suspended for. But if he doesn't play this year at all, and he just, his moral stance, and that's his prerogative, then his contract situation just gets booted to next year, and you're in the same spot. So, I stood my ground, and I respect that if you want to do that, but it's not going to resolve anything. So if there's a slight concession on the Jets' part, conversion to guaranteed money, whatever, short deal, whatever, and there's a slight concession on his part, this deal will get done.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the phone. Steve is in Putnam County. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting me on.
What's up, Steve?
Been watching the Giants for some odd years. And I'm in agreement with you guys about, being too soon to get rid of the coach and the general manager. A couple of howevers to that, though. One of them is, I'm perplexed with the Daboll. It seems like he's regressing every year with a number of different things, including and especially his play calling. And just because you get rid of Daboll, if they decide to do that at the end of the year, I don't know that you necessarily have to get rid of the general manager at the same time, right? The general manager should have a little bit longer of a leash. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think if you're going to make a change, you get both of them out. And I would never do it now. That's why. That's part of the reason why I'm saying it's a ridiculous conversation to even have. We don't know about Joe Shane just yet. You can't know about a general manager in year 2 plus 2 weeks.
All right. Here's one more thing I wanted to run by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more thought. Ernie Accorsi and I used to communicate a lot with each other back in the early 2000s, and I ran something by him one day regarding hiring. I told him I would be a little leery about hiring an offensive coordinator as a head coach, unless there's exceptions, and there are, of course, in the NFL right now. And the reason for that is because when these guys are calling plays as an OC, they're more risk oriented, just let it rip, because they're not the head coach. Once they become a head coach, all of a sudden they start crawling inside of a shell. They're a little bit more paranoid about doing things that they would have done as an offensive coordinator.
Did he agree with you? Did he agree? He did. Okay,
yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. And so
it is an interesting point that I've never really thought about, honestly.
And so, obviously, he said there. I mean, you and I can name off exceptions right now. Sean Andy Reid.
But the game, Steve, and thank you for the call. I think it's a fascinating point. And I'm not saying that there's no merit to that. But the game has changed now. where you'd prefer, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I want a head coach. I want a guy who could be in total command of the team. I still believe that that plays ultimately. But if you're going to lean one way, it's leaning offensive. You want a head coach who's going to call the plays and develop the young quarterback. That's it. And I would hope, while I'm saying that there might be some merit to what you're saying, if you're an OC, you're trying to move up the ranks, maybe you're going to be a little more aggressive. You're not worried about it because your head's not necessarily on the chopping block. And then all of a sudden you're the head coach and it's like, uh-oh, well, my head's on the chopping block. It still shouldn't change. Whatever you did that got you to that point to be successful, you should not back off of that when you get the head coaching opportunity.
Yeah, in an ideal world, you don't. You evolve and you learn how to juggle and you learn how to run the entire building, okay, which is, you know, that's like somebody like Sean Payton or Andy Reid. That really was an interesting point, though. I appreciate that call. I never really thought of that either. I mean, I could say that I did. I'd be lying. I never really process it that way. Like, if you're an OC, you know, you generally skip, you design the first 10 to 15 plays, you script them,
right?
And you're just married, you know, your head's barely up during a game. You just locked in on that pad and that play sheet. All right, this and down and distance, pass, run, go for it, whatever. Have a play for this, have a play for that. But if you're from the OC's perspective, you're not thinking about, from an OC's perspective, all right, if this play doesn't work on fourth and one, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going home. I'm not the head coach sitting at that press conference saying, why'd you go for it? Why didn't you punt? Why didn't you do this? Or, you know, asked about certain players, not only plays, but players at the post-game press conference. You're not thinking about defense necessarily or field position or special teams or personalities. You're basically a numbers guy at that point with intuition on what might work and what might not. You're not processing anything else. It's a really, really good way to think about it.
What would you want to do if you were a head coach?
Would you want to call
your own plays or delegate? See, I feel like I want to be in control. If I'm a guy, like, I'd want to be like Andy Reid or Dable for that matter. If I'm a head coach and I get my opportunity and my bread and butter was calling plays, I'm calling the damn plays.
Yeah.
I'm not relying on somebody else to do it and then I have to second guess them. Now, ultimately, as a head coach, you're making the final decisions.
Sure.
But you're not on what to do, whether it's run versus pass, whether it's going forward. You could give your suggestions, but you're not coming up with the play call in real time if you're delegating to the coordinator. If I'm an offensive guy, especially with the way the NFL's gone right now, and I think that there's value. If I'm hiring somebody in that, I'm hiring you because you were a great play caller and offensive coordinator in Detroit or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. I want you to do that here. I don't want you to give up your greatest strength why I hired you.
That's true. I think my answer would be a little different, though. And though I appreciate wanting to do it all, I do. And generally, that's my personality, too. But I think there's great value. Now, there's not many people like this. If I was to delegate, all right, it would have to be with somebody that maybe I previously worked with.
Right, right.
Came up there. And there's such synergy, such unspoken synergy that, you know, it's almost like when you do a show with each other for a long time, Mike and Chris kind of knew what the other guys were thinking. You know what I mean? Like, you're around each other for so long, there's an instinct and an intuition. Because think about this. If you're my OC.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the head, though.
Okay, right.
If you're my OC, or vice versa, but if you're my OC, and I know, all right, listen, Sal.
I was just thinking about the Mike and Chris stuff. I read something today.
I'm going to jot that down. We're going to get to it later.
You kind of mentioned it, yeah. Mike, anyway, sorry.
I want to hear it later. It's okay. Yeah. Mike, Chris.
No, I don't want to get into it.
We're going to. Okay. So let's say you're my OC. Yeah. We've worked together maybe in Alabama, and we came up the ranks in the personnel department, whatever. I'm the head coach of the OC, right? And my defense is getting gashed. And I'm an offensive guy, but my defense is getting smoked. I know, all right, my guy Sal's got, he sees what he's getting us in the end zone.
Right.
And while Sal's doing what I hired him to do, and I know he's going to do it, then I can at least address the defense.
Right.
If you're Andy, now it works out there, trying to get three Super Bowls in a row, understood. But like, if something goes awry, you don't have a chance to fix it if you're all you do is you have to play. It's limiting in a way.
Reid may be the best that we've ever seen at it because, to me, I look at him and I see a head coach, but I also see an offensive genius that's calling the plays while being
in
a head
real
coach.
Time.
Yeah,
I know. It's tough. That's a tough job to do.
It is, but he seems to have mastered it. It's why guys delegate. I mean, look at Salah. Salah doesn't want, hey, the offense, or Rex.
Yeah.
Not to pick on, hey, you guys run the offense. I'll take care of the defense.
I couldn't be that hands off. 30 seconds. What happened with Mike and Chris? God.
No, it's what nothing happened. Nothing happened. You actually brought this up yesterday, and then I read an article today on that Barrett Sports Media thing.
Okay.
Where I guess Mike was on a podcast with Was it with Jason Kelce, or am I just like...
I don't know.
Jason Kelce overload.
I don't know.
It was with A-Rod and somebody else.
I know he's with A-Rod. It was A-Rod's.
Okay.
A-Rod's pod.
Yeah, and I just...
What happened? What did Mike say?
It's not that Mike said anything bad. It's that the way it was written, I didn't like necessarily.
Such as?
It was like, well, Mike let Dog play the clown. You know, just the wording of it seemed off to me. Hmm. I know what Mike meant to say. I don't know how he said it. I didn't listen to the actual thing, but in print... It was a little...
It looked bad, a little offensive toward Doggy?
I don't think it read well, yes.
Marginalizing, even if it's unintentional, marginalizing.
It was definitely, as Dove points out, it was... what was the word you just
ego
used?
Ego flex.
Condescending.
Condescending, yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, listen.
It seemed like... And it wasn't an ego thing, like Mike pulling ego. I think Mike was genuinely trying to talk about the dynamics of a two-man show, especially when they first started.
Everybody's got their roles.
But it was kind of demeaning or condescending, the way that it was read. I did not hear it, so I don't want to...
I gotcha.
But it like hurt me as a Mike and the Mad Dog lover.
Yeah.
And both those guys, being a fan of both those...
And Mike and the Mad Dog brown nose, some might say.
Plus, and then I'm thinking, like, is BT making me play the clown? Is that what's going on?
You doink yourself, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm not a clown. I'm a sports radio host, okay? You might think I'm a clown, but I'm not a clown, okay?
I'm not, in fact, a clown. I sit there in a
clown. Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls in a second here. Just some notes, BT. We like going around the league. you know, week two is now officially over after the Monday night game. By the way, you get two Monday night games next week. And obviously week three starts Thursday. Jets, Patriots, so looking forward to that. Around the league, you know, not to get too deep into specifics, but a couple of things that you notice right off the bat, a lot of upsets taking place. And also dominance from the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, there are some teams who maybe you thought would be okay or be playoff teams coming into the year. But specifically, the beating that the Saints put on the Cowboys, that stood out to me. The Bucs being impressive on the road against the Lions stood out, where Baker Mayfield, instead of just like, hey, this is a one-year wonder, a good story, Baker's been legit. And how about the Packers and the job that LaFleur has done with that team? You lose your quarterback, even though you're at home and you're taking on a team that, you know, the Colts aren't very good, but still to win in a different way,
yep,
to run the football, that was also of note from week two.
Yeah, and I think you have to incorporate who was his quarterback. I mean, Malik Willis was a train wreck.
Yep.
You know, if, I loved him at Liberty. I watched him a little bit. I remember watching him against Syracuse. He was interesting to me, but he did not acquit himself well as a professional quarterback. And, you know, he was fairly competent the other day. So the credit to the coaching staff. A couple things that jump out to me. You know, and it's too early. I mean, certainly too early to lock down or lose a playoff spot. But it's not too early to at least take an overhead shot of some early trends here. Now, the Ravens are such a great franchise that I'm never going to rule them out. Although, when they have started 0-2, they don't make the playoffs under John Harbaugh. That's a fact. The Ravens always start 0-2, seemingly, with Zach Taylor, and they still find a way to regenerate. So I'm not going to fully say that they're dead either. And the Jaguars just don't seem to be as good as I thought. And, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on down there. Trevor Lawrence, they just don't win. It's a mess. But those are three teams, certainly at least two. And I do think the Jaguars were interesting enough for me on paper. Like, those three teams are 0-2.
Right.
So you start to look at the path here for the Jets and the Giants. All right, well, you know, what's going on here? What's going on there? Those are three teams I think a lot of people thought would be pretty good, as, you know, decent as the floor and really good as the ceiling, that haven't won yet.
One other thing, and I actually want to ask you about the 0-2 stuff, because think about it. We talk about 0-2, 0-2. We know the percentages, but doesn't that change with the additional game now?
Yes, that's a good point. That is
right.
A very
like everybody's
good point.
Talking about 0-2 historically. Well, how is it the same now? Where you add an extra game, it just doesn't. Now again,
that's
I don't know. Maybe that's factored in, but
that's true. That's true.
You're adding another game to the season, so the 0-2 start, what it is historically, I would think would be different.
It probably would. I know you have something else.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I don't know if that's offset by the fact that, I don't even know if this is going to make sense, that other while you have more chances to, you have another chance to lose a game, every other team has a chance to win another game, so,
right, so
does that keep the number in the same there? It probably does.
I don't know. I just feel like 0-2 with 16 games is more impactful than 0-2 with 17.
I think
like
that's irrefutable.
I just don't know.
Just
so
basic
all the
math.
Stats and measurements, and I'm sure that this, I would assume somebody's got to factor that in, but just when you look at it historically, to me, it's not apples to apples. The competitiveness of the Steelers, where teams look to dismiss them or wait for them, you know, the fact that they go with Fields and bench Russell Wilson and don't even dress them, but just the fact that they're competitive, the competitiveness of the Patriots, even with a loss.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the upsets and all that stuff, but man, the other teams being legit, like I love the Chargers, what horrible fun, all right, they beat up on the Panthers. Do you, like, is it too early to start believing in teams like the Cardinals or the Vikings? Where they have had, Saints are a different story because we know the Saints should have been okay.
Yeah.
And then they've looked dominant, but nobody thought, I don't think, Minnesota and Darnold to look this good. Did anybody think Kyler Murray would look this good with Arizona? Is it too early to start believing in some of those teams who maybe had no expectations and look good out of the gate?
That's another good question. I mean, just pertaining to the Cardinals here, first of all, you know, they 1-1. They're not 2-0, as you know. But
yep,
their loss was to the Bills, and the Bills looked to be better than I thought.
And
I
they
mean,
had
I knew
the lead on them early.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
Like,
they were beating them. They beat them 17-0.
That's what I mean. At least Arizona, even in that game.
Yeah, they showed.
Yeah.
And they only lost by, I think it was 6 points anyway.
Right.
So they were there for the entire game. The other game that they so I give them positive stock there, even in defeat on the road.
Right. They smacked the Rams.
But the Rams, I think, are awful.
Okay.
I think the Rams are really bad. So that I don't want to say that neutralizes their week one fairly good performance on the road. But I guess that what I'm saying is a little bit too early for me to get a gauge on the Cardinals. And, you know, let's face it, even though he's much more dynamic. Well, I mean, Jones is, well, yeah, Kyler Murray's more dynamic than Jones. But this is year, what, five for Kyler Murray?
I'm forgetting.
Am I right with that? Year five? It's got to be at least five. It's got to be at least four or five. I'm going to say five. But if everybody or most people are out on Daniel Jones 6 years in, Okay. You know, why would we still hold on to the notion that Kyler Murray's going to be a superstar?
Well, because
what's different?
Because he's had more success for me. At least, I mean,
you're six.
The guy throws for touchdowns.
Wow,
I mean,
you're six.
He threw for three touchdowns on Sunday.
I know.
Was the last time they add up Daniel Jones last 3 years? It might not add three touchdowns. And you had Harrison looked like a stud. I'm starting, and they got it even last year. Their coach, even last year, like, they exceeded all expectations. I'm starting to think Arizona might be more legitimate than just dismissing them and saying, the Cardinals stink and pick against them every week. The league is weird. 2 weeks in, a lot of upsets, a lot of teams surprising. Again, you don't want to go nuts and overreact, but I do think that that's been a popular thought here.
I have one more thing for
you.
Now, this is probably a deeper discussion, maybe for middle of the week. Let's see where these Giants go. You saw who got benched yesterday, right?
Bryce Young.
Former number one overall pick for the Carolina Panthers, who are wretched. Bryce Young.
What, for the Giants?
I mean, if we keep saying that, you know, that Dable needs to find a quarterback here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
here's the one knock. I'm not saying I wouldn't be opposed to that, like, down the road, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen midseason, but.
Yeah, and who knows what Carolina's going to do. The one thing I will say, generally, when that happens, these guys, and again, I would be open to it. But generally, these guys that get, are that, even when they're drafted number one overall, I don't care. When they're that bad to a point where they got to get benched this soon, generally they can't be saved.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But, I mean, it's alarming. Now, the owner's also a whack job. Like, Tepper has no patience for growth. So, to get benched, though, two games into your second year.
I mean, you think this is going to be a Baker Mayfield situation? You know what I mean? I look at it more like Josh Rosen. Again, I know Rosen was the number one overall, but...
I think Josh was number 10.
They just realized, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
He ain't it.
Maybe. I mean, it very well might be. Very different skill set. I mean, obviously, Rosen was nailed to the ground, but he was bigger. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know how great Bryce or good Bryce Young would be. I didn't think he'd be this.
He's
a mess.
If you're the Giants, you certainly take a flyer. Here's the better question. What do you think it would take right now to get him?
No way he's going to be first round.
Well... I mean, but if you're Carolina, are you that dumb and that hot-headed? Carolina's just such a freaking
they're
mess.
They're a weird franchise.
But are you going to be like, okay, let's just get rid of them for less than... Like, even if they got a first-rounder, it wouldn't be good, obviously, depending on where it is. But, yeah, you're already taking a loss on it.
Yep.
And I know you want to just cut your losses at some point, but I don't think now would be the time to do that.
Probably not.
Where are they going anywhere?
Maybe more the offseason, but think about this. It's not after year five anymore. It's after year four. You can't rescind it. So, I mean, there's no way they're going to give this guy a second contract.
And we know Shane is buddies with Dan Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about
that. We learned
that
with the Brian Burns trade, their history.
Ooh.
I'm sure a call was made. I would assume every team is going to be, hey, what's the, or at least this week, hey, you know, any availability there? What are we looking at?
You think they received a lot of calls?
I would think if you're doing, like, wouldn't you just in your due diligence, hey, you guys, are you looking to move them at all? Like,
yeah, I guess. Yep.
You know.
Well, but you have to have an incredibly unstable or unappealing quarterback situation to make that call.
Yeah.
You know, like Caleb Williams is just starting. Kyler Murray's playing well.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of stars who would never envision making the call. The Falcons just gave your boy a lot of money.
And
Baker's playing.
Penix, yeah.
And Penix. Baker's playing really well. Is this reclamation project. Derek Carr, you might not love him, but he's 2-0 and he's putting up a ton of points. I mean, Seattle's got Geno. You got 49ers are set. Rams, well, you know what? Yeah, the Rams, that would be an interesting one.
Rams
down the road because Stafford's getting older. Not going
to
be the Packers. Not going to be the Lions.
Minnesota. I mean, I know Darnold, but
you got McCarthy coming back next year.
Not Minnesota.
Not the Cowboys with the money. Not the Eagles, not the Commanders.
Denver.
Maybe Denver.
Bo Nix. Did you see Bo Nix comment after the game?
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
For
what happened on that interception there? Oh, I dropped back and threw it to the other team.
Yeah. I could see them knocking him around on Denver radio a little bit. Like, imagine if Zach said that. So Zach, what happened? Zach, what happened on that interception in the end zone? And Zach says very flatly, I threw it to the wrong team. Like, I could see why some people would try to make that out to be a punk comment.
I loved it.
I don't have an issue with it.
Hey, maybe Harbaugh takes it. I know he's got Justin Herbert, but maybe
he's got Herbert.
So what? He's got Herbert. Herbert's
got
always hurt and disappointing. Anyway, there are a handful of not as many as you would think.
No.
You're right.
What about the Colts? Richardson doesn't seem to be very good.
I mean, are you going to make that change now?
Well, I mean, if the Carolina Panthers are making the change, why can't the Colts?
Tennessee, well, who the hell knows anymore?
I know.
I would think that if you're at Emmy, maybe Miami.
The Browns? You want Deshaun Watson playing?
No.
No?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Deshaun was better, but...
Not the Dolphins, because they need a fix now with Tua out, because they're ready to win now.
Yeah.
not the Pats. Yeah, I mean, there's probably five or six teams I can make a case that should make a call.
Anyway, I'd bet, and I wouldn't be opposed to it, I'd bet that the Giants inquired or other teams inquired about. All right, we'll come back. We'll finish up on the phones. And I also have something for you. One more thing from last night's game that has really nothing to do with either the Falcons or the Eagles that I wanted to get to you. I wanted to bring
as
up
as long
to you.
As it's not about Kelce, I'm fine.
And has nothing to do with Kelce.
There you go.
Oh, I have to sneeze here. I'm holding back.
You're right there, buddy. Yeah, I'm trying to hold your head like
I was going to sneeze.
Faint here.
No, I'm all right. All right, a limited number of additional seats. Just don't look at the sun. A limited number of additional seats. Or is it you should look at the sun to stop the sneeze? Is that what it is?
That's funny. When Colt was little, I'm like, is he allergic? I'm like, how's he going to play baseball? Is he allergic to the sun? Every time he'd sneeze.
Yeah.
Still does once in a while.
Do you know what that's saying?
I always look at the light if I want to sneeze.
Okay, you're supposed to look at the light to prevent the sneeze.
No, the opposite.
Oh, it's the opposite.
It helps you sneeze.
Oh, if you want to sneeze, you look at the light.
Okay, doesn't it feel good when you sneeze? It really does.
Well, I got to get through the read first, and then maybe I can experience that joy. Yes, it does.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. I'm talking to Jermaine Illuminor. Has any of the outside noise started to creep into the locker room a little bit? I know it's early. But whether it's the fans booing, which you guys had to answer questions about that week one, now all the stuff week two, and people, reporters questioning Dable's job, has any of that outside negativity started to infiltrate the locker room at all?
I would say no, and I've been in locker rooms where the media starts to impact the locker room. The New York media market, obviously it's my first time being in this, but I've seen just how big it is. And how impactful it can be. And so I think that this locker room does a really good job of handling that. You know, like I said, DJ being in the limelight in New York, you know, obviously everyone knows who Daniel Jones is. He does a great job of handling it. And I think he is a great example for the younger guys on how to handle the pressure that comes with playing in New York from the media side and just all the eye on you. So I think the locker room's doing a phenomenal job of, you know, boxing out the noise and just keeping focused on what we need to do as a team in order to put ourselves in the best position to win.
That was Jermaine Illuminor early on. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We talked to him in the 11 o'clock hour. We talked to Baldy as well about an hour or so ago. So the free Odyssey app has you covered and anything you might have missed. All right, we're going to finish up on the phones here. But before we do that, BT, one thing from the game last night.
Yep.
Did you happen to see any of the pregame with a certain superstar NBA player on the field before the game?
No.
Jalen Brunson was in the house.
Oh, I heard he was. I didn't see it.
And he was on the field wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey. I think, yeah, Jalen Hurts number one jersey.
Everybody's got a problem with this now?
I was going to ask you. I mean, I know you're not a Giants fan necessarily, but still, this is New York, Philadelphia. The Knicks and Sixers got into a heated battle. I get that he's from, you know, went to Villanova. He's a diehard Eagle fan. He's entitled to his fandom. Did you think it was okay to see the captain of the New York Knicks wearing a Philadelphia Eagle jersey saying the Birds are going to win by 50?
Yes. It's not the first time he's done it. He wore one into the Garden. When was it?
Maybe
it was like Super Bowl, whatever it was fairly recent.
Yeah.
I get it. Listen, do I prefer, you know, rocking a Namath or a Lawrence Taylor throwback? Of course. But it's his team. And isn't that one of the reasons why we love Jalen? Because he's true to who he is?
Yeah, he's a fan. I get it. You know? But he's going to have, I mean, it's maybe the one thing he could have an issue with some New York fans.
No.
Well, what do you mean? Giant fans aren't going to like that.
But he wore it before.
I know, I get it. I know that, but. You know.
Well, I got a little something else
for you. He was the captain before you. What else do you got?
Well, I think the captain, I think he's endeared himself even more. Listen, if they didn't get after him back then, I mean, the guy left $45 million on the table.
I actually do respect the fact that he doesn't care. He's a fan. He's going to wear what he wants. Now, it'd be different, I think, if you wore a Mets or a Yankees thing, which I know he was out at Yankee Stadium throwing out a first pitch or whatever, which is fine. But if you were to openly root for one of the teams in New York,
I still don't think that would be an issue.
Yeah,
as long as you're pulling
out. Fan base. Yeah.
As long as you play it well, I think it's cool. Yeah. I hear you, though. I mean, some people will make it out, and they'll attack it from a petty perspective. It doesn't bother
me. Giant fans don't want to see that. They don't want to see Jalen Brunson in the Eagles jersey.
They could have worn Saquon jersey.
Wow.
That would be a little different.
That
if he rocked the Saquon Eagles jersey, now my response is, because now you're trolling. All right, so...
Yeah.
I've got something. It's funny you brought up Jalen. I got something for you. I mean, what does it really mean? Not a ton. And we're not really near the NBA season yet, although we're getting there. The top 100 players revealed, ranked, NBA.
Current?
Yep, going into the season, ahead of the 2024-2025 season. I'm going to give you in descending order. Dante DiVincenzo, number 81, just Knicks.
Yeah.
Number 77, Josh Hart.
Okay.
Number 54, our boy. We forgot about him a little bit, but he's back. Julius Randle.
Right, I like it.
Show a little respect.
Said he might play more five this year, but go ahead.
Yep. Number 46, the OG. Okay.
Okay.
Two names have been left off the list here. Mr. Bridges is number 41.
Okay.
Formerly of the Nets. Now, where do you think, because think about, is
he better be top 20.
Is he a superstar? Does the Supermax? Is he an MVP? Where do you think that they have Brunson ranked going into the season?
I'm going to say minimal top 20. He'd be number 10, or ranked number in the top 10 in my book. I'm going to say they have him 16th.
Okay, let's see here, Sal. Number one is Jokic. Number two is Giannis. Number three is Luka. Number four is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Number five is that punk Embiid who will smack silly again in the playoffs. Number six, although his team's a little bit better. Number six is Steph Curry. I mean, better than they were a year ago, not better than the Knicks. Jason Tatum, number seven. Hey, coach, he's on your Olympic team. You want to play him? He didn't. LeBron James, number eight. KD, number nine. Anthony Edwards, who you've loved for always.
Yeah, he's a stud. He should be higher on that list. Beast. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he is great. Number 10, Anthony Davis, number 11. Victor Wembanyama, maybe for this.
Come on now.
Number 12, our boy Jalen, number 13.
All right.
I mean, easily inside the top 20. You said 13?
I said it should be top 10. I thought they maybe 16. They
16
would have
you
him.
Said. Yeah. That's right. Number 13.
I would have him top 10. I think you could move him up to
I agree
10.
With that. But at least the respect is inching toward where it should be.
Okay. We'll take it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we'll get a lot more into the Knicks. I know right now it's the midst of football season.
I just wanted to hit you with that Brunson jersey stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't look. I mean, I think fans are going to be rubbed the wrong way by that. Giant fans, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see your superstar. I mean, you know. It's like political stuff. Like, you could vote for whoever you want to. You could root for whoever you want to. We just don't want to see
it necessarily. Well, when you put the sign on the lawn, a little different than just knowing that you support somebody.
And you got the hat on. Yeah. I mean, we know where you're going. Like, you know. Yeah. I respect it with Brunson. He hasn't hidden his Eagles fandom. Hey, look, as long as he wins, that's all that matters.
He is.
Same thing with Dable.
He's the man, dude.
As long as he wins, that's all that matters.
He better start.
We'll see. All right, we'll have some fun tomorrow. We'll talk some baseball. Have Susan and Howie, so we'll do much more on the Mets. And Yankees, of course, also talk about the Jets as we look up to their Thursday night game, week three. Jets and Patriots will get week three underway Thursday night at MetLife. All right, BT, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Pat Boyle filling in for Hop as well.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.